Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
If you have your Bibles today, Isaiah chapter 40, you can turn there. And if you have those little markers in your Bible, or if you have the ability to be on an app and you're looking at it on a phone, we're going to be in Isaiah and we're going to be in Acts today, Acts chapter 1 and 2. But you can earmark both of those. And as you're turning there, share a story with you today. A group of travelers were being made to wait on their airplane, which was late due to another flight being canceled. And so they were waiting waiting for their airplane to show up, and it was late because of a flight that had been canceled. The crowd looked horrible and was impatient as the time went on and on. Has anybody ever been there? You know, flight canceled, good grief, and you're waiting. Finally, an angry passenger pushed his way to the front of the line. He slammed his ticket down and said, "I must be on this flight now, and I've got to be in first class." The flight attendant, trying to be nice, said, "Sir, we will get to you as soon as possible, but you got to wait. You got to wait in line just like everyone else. You got to wait just like it." He quickly said, "Ma'am, do you have any idea who I am?" Without hesitation, she smiled. She picked up her intercom, her microphone, and said, "We have a passenger here at the gate who does not know who he is. If anyone can help him find his identity, please come to gate 17. Oh. You need to know who you are while you're waiting. Moral of that story. Have you ever been forced to sit and wait on anything? Or maybe stand and wait. I mean, as a hunter, I understand waiting for the kill. You're waiting for the right shot opportunity. I get some waiting is necessary, and the anticipation for the wait is awesome because you know it's coming. You know it. Pregnancy. The wait for that baby is intense. It's like, there are times, come on, I have been around enough pregnant women to know that the wait gets overwhelming sometimes. Husbands, you have to learn the principle of waiting. If you're a husband, you know what it means to wait on your wife. Some of you are like, "Oh, come on now." No, I mean, the wait for my wife to get ready, I'll just talk about my home. She's not here, so I can say anything I want. When the wait for her to get ready, the wait while I'm sitting in the driveway trying so hard not to honk the horn, it's time to go 5 minutes ago. Come on, the wait while they're shopping, and then they walk out of the store and have bought nothing. We waited that long for nothing. I actually wrote for about 10 minutes this morning all the things I've waited on my wife, and I'm not going to tell her. I'm not even going there. But there's a lot of waiting if you're a husband. Now, wives, I know that there's a to-do list, and you understand the wait too. So I'll just leave that there. Teenagers, the wait to get your driver's license. Now, it used to be a big deal. It's not as much anymore. I'm telling you, the wait was just, I want you to know, and I want to confess this message I've been praying about for a while, and I've had to wait to the right time to talk about it, because I'm not a good waiter. And so I've been practicing before I get up and preach, because I don't want to be preaching something that I haven't somewhat been working on, at least in my own life. And I'm not a good waiter. Does anybody here say, "Yeah, I'm not a good waiter"? I'm not good at lines. If you go to a restaurant and they tell you it's going to be 30 minutes or more, how many goes to another restaurant? You're not good waiters. See, if the restaurant's good enough, the wait's worth it. But there's very few restaurants that's worth the wait. So waiting is tough, and I want you to know that sometimes there's a wait that has to take place in our life, a W-A-I-T, the wait. There is a wait in your life that is oftentimes necessary for you to see the fulfillment of what God wants to do. And a lot of people give up in the middle of the wait because they don't know how to wait. And so I've been praying about this because right now I'm waiting on some things in our country. I'm waiting on, come on. Last year, 2020, in the spring, they started talking about this, and I was like, okay, now I'm waiting for this to be over. How many of you sitting here going, I'm still waiting? What do you do while you wait? Because here's the thing. If Christians keep remaining silent and don't do anything, this wait is going to go on and on and on. So what do we do while we wait? What do we do while we wait? There's a wait in all of life. We as Christians need to know that waiting is necessary. I get that. But why are we waiting, and what do we do while we wait? God doesn't always answer our prayers with a resounding military salute, yes, sir. Whatever you say, Ashley, yes, sir. I'll just do whatever you say. No, when you petition the Lord, when you talk to the Lord and you're saying, God, I'm in this, I'm believing you for this, and I need it right now. Sometimes he does answer with an immediate yes, and I've seen that. And isn't it awesome? Here's what I don't like, and sometimes this is what I get. Nope. Quit asking. Have you ever as a parent said that to your child? They just hound you and hound you and hound you and hound you. And you're like, I said no. And if you ask one more time, anybody here get that one? Come on, I'm asking, and it's no, and it's no. But more often in my life, I have found when I pray, most of mine are not yes, immediate yes. And it's not an immediate no, but it's wait. And I just think a lot of times we don't understand that wait is necessary. Well, why? Because things happen in the wait. Things happen. I don't want to run ahead of God, but I also don't want to remain idle and grow stagnant. So what do I do? Isaiah 40, verse 26 says, look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Have you ever looked up at the stars? God calls them each by its name. I have a hard time remembering everybody's name that I come into contact with. And I bet that I haven't even personally met as many stars as I see at night. God has an ability to call all of them by name. How much more does he know your name? He created all them stars, and he knows them by name, and he calls them out by name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Praise God. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord doesn't see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard, have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired. And I sometimes wonder, I watch young people, I'm like, are you ever going to slow down? Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. Now, verse 31, most of you know this, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. What this does is it talks about how powerful God is in verses 26 through 30. And you get in 31 and it says, those who trust in the Lord. Let me read the New King James Version. But those who wait on the Lord. Oh, there's that word, wait. In the NLT, it's those who trust. In the New King James, it's those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the New International Version says, but those who hope in the Lord. All right, we got trust, we got wait, and we got hope. Somebody messed up in the translation. That's why some people say this is the only translation, because they don't understand the true understanding of the Greek or the Hebrew that it was written in. Now, I don't want to get into this deep theological explanation. Let's just understand something. There is a thought-for-thought translation, and then there's word-for-word translations. But know this, the Hebrew does not immediately transfer an understanding in English. So when you read those who wait on the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, all of those are right. All of those are right. Lots of different versions read wait, some hope, some read trust. And what I want you to know is, for those who wait upon the Lord, let's look just deeply but quickly into the Hebrew word that is rendered wait, to wait on, to wait on. It means to wait with an expectation. It means to sense something's coming. Boy, I like this. I get more excited tomorrow and we'll talk about it. The phrase to wait on the Lord or wait on Yahweh means to wait for his help. It means to trust that it's coming, and it means that you can walk in the hope of knowing. There's a hope in knowing. Your hope becomes a lot more significant when you know that it's coming. It just becomes way more. I know that it's coming, therefore, I can wait. Well, what happens while I'm waiting? My strength is renewed. Anybody ever get tired? Come on, youth even get tired, it said. I just know that there is a strengthening that comes in the wait. There are times, though, that wait will just about get us. But our confidence in his promise should allow us to see some significance in the wait. Now, this passage properly refers to those who are suffering a long and a grievous, it was horrible captivity in Babylon, and they had no prospect of deliverance except God. No prospect of deliverance except God. I don't know if you've ever been there, but there's no hope, there's no anything in the world but God. Boy, I don't like what they just said. Yep, but God. See, that wait can renew your strength, or if you don't put but God in there, then you're defeated. And that's what the enemy wants. And some of us here this morning are waiting, and we're waiting, and come on, I've waited, and I'm waiting, and don't lose your wait. What do you mean when you say that? Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your trust, because the promises of God are real. They're yes, they're amen, and when you know them, you can stand on the promise, and in the wait, you can get strengthened. I know this message is for somebody this morning, because I had been praying and praying and praying, and I had on my heart to talk about don't fear, don't fear. And he said, here's how you don't fear. You get some strength. Well, how do you get strength? In the wait. Oh, man, I don't want to talk about this because I don't do good at waiting. Well, he said, if you will just tell my people what I've been trying to tell you, Ashley, that in the wait, some things really powerful can happen. And so I don't know what it is you're waiting on this morning, but I can tell you, if you're waiting on a promise of God to manifest, then praise God for the wait. And praise God for this word, because this will provide for you something to be doing while you're waiting. See, the inactivity on our part is not the wait that we need to be operating in. Now, to wait on him, without using any means he put in us to obtain his promise is actually tempting God. It's not doing what you want to do. God, I don't want to put him in a position where I'm provoking him to something that he already took care of. Let me explain. A farmer who decides to wait on God and doesn't plow and sow his fields is going to be very, very disappointed. And here's the problem. A lot of Christians are waiting and doing nothing. And right now there needs to be some plowing. There needs to be some sowing. So we're waiting on the promise. As we're waiting on the promise to fulfill, we're doing our part according to what God called us to do. The man who waits for God to do what he ought to do to save him without using any of the means that God made available is not only going to be disappointed, but they're not doing what God told us to do. He told us to wait. Oh, man. Are you kidding me? He did. He told us to wait. You got to wait. You got to wait. You got to wait. God gives the increase. You need to know that. I'm not saying that you're going to take care of all of it. But in him giving the increase, it's oftentimes a result of what we did in the wait. His increase is going to manifest based on what God's kids do that he told them to do while they're waiting. Several years ago on the news, I remember this story about this man running off an embankment, and it was in Ozark, Missouri. He ran off an embankment. And he was hurt. He was hurt, and he was telling his story about how God delivered him. And so as he was telling this story, someone said, well, that was either God or it was you. And he said, it was God giving me what I needed to do while I waited. The embankment that he went off of put his car in a position where no one would ever see him, would have never seen him. And he was in a position where the idea and the hope that somebody was going to come find him off this embankment before he were to die was not going to happen. So I remember hearing this story. They say, so what did you do while you were waiting to be rescued? He said, I tried to reach my phone. It was over here in the floorboard and my knees were stuck with the steering wheel. And so he said, I was trying to get things and do things, and I'd grab the back of the seat, that little thing that holds that neck thing, pulled it off, and I was trying to scrape it over to me, and I was trying to do this, and I'd rip my shirt, and I was trying to hit it. And I just was imagining him, and he's talking about it. And he said, then it was just like a miracle. He said, I was able to get something and tip it just enough that it flipped over, and in the flip, I grabbed it with my fingertips. I remember them talking about this story, and I'm thinking, that was God. He said, yeah, but you grabbed it. He said, yep, I did my part. And it was in getting the phone that I was then able to call someone and say, I'm off an embankment. I'm hurt really bad. Please get here as quick as you... See, he did. What if he'd have just waited and prayed when he's looking at a phone right there? Well, he waited and prayed and then did everything he could to get to the phone. And I just thought that story represents and should represent the life of a Christian. You're praying and you're believing God for something right now. What is it? God, I'm praying and believing you for. And what he's saying is, I know and I'm here and my promise is yes and amen. And you're singing that this morning and you're going out of here and you're praying and you're believing. But what are you doing? What are you doing? What is going on right now? You're believing God for the rescue of your child who doesn't know Jesus. What are you doing? Well, I'm praying and believing. What are you doing? I'm not here to fill in the gaps, but God, I know that I need to do my part. What do? I live life as an example in front of him. I don't deny the things of God, and I love them in the process. I don't know, but David Hilton really put something in me. There's a process we're all in. And in that process, there are blessings, and there are stages, and there are seasons, and we're going to get here. Praise God, we're going to get here. We're going to get here. But man, this season's been a long time. I'm just tired of waiting. Be careful about that, because all get tired. Just get your strength renewed. I understand you're tired of waiting. This guy was tired of waiting for somebody to come get him, so he started heading towards a phone that was in the floor. And when he hit it, it turned just at the right time, and he grabbed it with his fingers. It was a miracle. Yep, God delivered him, but he did his part. So how do we take this scripture and make it applicable to our lives? Because many of us are waiting, but many of us have to be careful that we're not waiting with no active part in the wait. There's something we've got to do. I was pondering this, I was thinking about it, and here's what I want you to know. I love Christmas. I can't wait. Anybody here like Christmas? There was a time where I liked it because I knew that I was getting something that I've been wanting. And that's okay. But as I matured in the Lord, it got to where I can't wait to see the look on the eyes of the kids that I'm getting something for. I can't wait to fulfill something they've been dreaming about. Well, just so you know, it's 11:33 right now. We're 96 days and 12 hours and 27 minutes right now from I have a Christmas countdown on my computer, and I calculated it for 11:30 and it's 11:33. So I only had to take three off of the anyway. No kidding. How many presents have you bought? I got a few. I'm stacking them up. I'm going to buy another one this week. I can't wait. So what am I doing in the wait? I'm buying. What am I doing in the wait? I'm preparing. What am I doing in the wait? I'm looking through Bass Pro so I can tell them what I want. You know, there's nothing you can do to speed up Christmas. It's going to get here when it gets here. It's going to be here at the exact time it says. So you can wait, and you can be frustrated in the waiting. You can wait with a bad attitude, and then when it gets here, you're going to be sorely disappointed or wish you'd have done more. Or you can wait and trust and hope and do for the day that it gets here. And when it gets here, I'm telling you, it's going to be a great day. I am always anticipating a great day, and I'm setting up for a great day, and I'm believing for a great day, and I know it's coming. Come on, as Christians, we know the promises of God. We're setting up, and we're believing, and we're anticipating, and we're looking forward to the day. Oh, but wait, do you know what happened on the day? I do. The enemy came and tried to steal what was yours. And so what'd you do? You just put the enemy back in his place and said, I'm over the circumstances. I'm not, because in the wait, my strength is renewed, and enemy, you have no power. And so in the name of Jesus, I understand you tried to make and manifest a circumstance, but in the wait, my strength was renewed. In the wait, I know what's going to happen. And so I'm going to wait and trust, and I'm going to believe, and I'm going to hope in him. All right, we got that. So what do we do while we wait? Because that's what we've got to know. Waiting is not the absence of movement. If you write anything down, that's what you probably ought to write down. Waiting is not the absence of movement. It's not the absence of movement. Waiting is not delay. Waiting is preparation. That's what waiting is. It's preparing. Acts 1, verse 4. Once he was eating with them, he commanded them. And Jesus said, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before. You know, Jesus had a tendency to repeat himself. Make sure we get it. And we can read all of these and we ought to get them. Verse 5, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. How many days, Jesus? I mean, I know Christmas is in 96 days. Just a few days, you're going to get baptized with the Holy Spirit. So verse 6, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, boy, do you not think of a kid here? They just kept asking, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel, restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. How many times have you asked God of something and he says, wait, and you're like, good grief, I want to know when. It's not for you to know. It's not for you to know. I'm sorry, it's not. I don't like that answer. But know this, get over it. It's not for you to know. Is it Christmas yet? No. No, are we there yet? That's another thing. We used to travel to Ohio all the time, and my girls, are we there yet? No. No, we're not there. Anybody ever watch the Smurfs? No, they don't remember that. They're all, Papa Smurf, are we there yet? No. Are we there yet? No. That's too old. I'm sorry. And then right before he get there, what did he say? Yes. We're here. And then they're like, oh, well, the excitement's over. No, here's what you've got to know. There's always going to be a wait, and this was what was going on, and the Father was the only one who knows, and he sets those dates and times. They're not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. I mean, Jesus is like, here's what the promise is. I'm telling you, you're going to get something that you never had before. You're going to get power bestowed upon you. You've been walking with the power, but you're getting ready to possess the power. It's going to be in you. It's going to be available. It's going to be there. But here's the deal. You got to wait. You got to wait. You got to wait. Verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance about half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Verse 14, they all met together, were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, about 120 believers were together in one place, and Peter stands up and addresses them and takes care of some stuff. Now, Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus had shared a promise with them. And what he said, and now I'll send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Some of your Bibles may say, and wait. Staying here in a particular place and wait. Now, you might be going, okay, Pastor, we get this. We get this. What do you do while you wait? You got to look at what the disciples did. Here's my first point today. They understood their purpose in waiting and what they were waiting on. Now, that's a big deal. The purpose of their waiting. They knew what Jesus had said. Verse 4, they knew what he'd said. They received the promise of the Father. They were waiting on God's promise. God's promise for them was the power of the Holy Spirit. They knew the promise. They knew the promise. What is the purpose of your waiting? What are you waiting for? Is it healing? Is it a job? Is it finances? Is it a son or a daughter? Is it them coming home, the son or daughter coming home to the Lord? Is it his will for your life? What's the next step? You've got to know God's promise while you're waiting. If not, you may not have something lined up to be standing on. So what's the promise? Boy, I'm just praying I start feeling better. Well, I'm praying for that too. Do you know there's a promise for your health? All right, so first thing is they understood their purpose and their promise. Number two, they put themselves in position. I like this. See, they were in the right place, Jerusalem to be more specific. They were in the exact right place, the upper room. Being in position is important. Church, hear me today. Being in position is important. It's really big. I can't tell you the amount of services that I have personally missed that I hear about a move of God, and I'm like, ugh. Not that I'm not happy that there was a move of God. I'm frustrated that I wasn't there. Don't ever leave yourself out of position for receiving a move of God. Well, wait, God can move wherever I'm at. I know that. But you weren't there when that happened, and you could have been. Don't ever miss where you could have been. You're here this morning. You believe there could be a move of God? Yes. Right now, he's doing that in the hearts and lives of people as they're hearing and receiving the word, putting yourself in position. I tell this story, and if you've been in this church any time, you've probably heard it, but it's a very important story to me because I'll never forget it. Michelle and I, several years ago, had the privilege of touring the Holy Land. I mean, we got to go all over Jerusalem. Well, as many of you may know, the history in that part of the country is very vast. I mean, it's big, it's giant. And there's been a lot of wars years ago. Well, to find things that have already been said and was done thousands of years ago. Well, they work hard on making sure that the locations that you go to are what the Bible said they were and where they were. So when it says they were a half a mile, they're on that Mount of Olives and they were half a mile. We just read that a few minutes ago. They located the place where the upper room was. Well, on our tour, our guide took us to the upper room. And guess what? We had to wait. Because there's time slots that you can go, and we were going to go up to this upper room, and we had to wait till our turn. So we get up there, and this guide, his name, believe it or not, was Abraham. And he was not a Messianic Jew. He was just a Jew, and he knew the New Testament better than I did. It was a little embarrassing. And so we're up there in the upper room, and we get up there, and we'd waited to get there. And we get there, and I remember he was mad because we had to wait. And when we get up there, guess what? We were supposed to be the only ones up there in the upper room. There was more than us. There was a group that spoke another language. They were from Asia, and they were up there, and they spoke another language, and they're up there, yep, 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 and nobody understood what they were saying. And he's getting more and more mad. And I had been assigned on this trip to be the choir director. So when we go to these locations, I always had a song prepared. And so he looked over at me and he said, Ashley, he said, lead us in a song. And I'm like, they're talking. I don't want to interrupt them. He said, it's our time, not theirs. And I'm like, that's rude. These people are up here and there's plenty of room because this is the upper room and there was like 120 people here. And we're not even close to that. So there's plenty of room. Let's just wait till they're done and we'll sing. They won't know what we're going to sing. And he said, he looked at me, and I mean, with a finger pointed right at me, he said, I said, sing. Some authority in the upper room that he was walking in. And I just immediately, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe dismayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. I am singing and our people start singing with me. And then all of a sudden on the other side of the room, they're singing in their language the same song that we were singing. And all of a sudden there was a power of God that came over this room. And I felt like I couldn't sing anymore. I sat down at a couple. I just started praying in the Spirit. And I remember thinking, as mad as you want to be at someone else while you're on the wait, I mean, while you're, the power of God came at the exact time that it was needed for everybody that was in that room. And I'm talking about, we were all Christians, we were all standing there, and when we walked out, Abraham, not a Christian, walked out and said, I've never experienced anything like that before. This is an old man that was leading us, and I'm like, that was the power of God. There is a wait that is necessary, but I'm telling you, there comes a time if you're in the right position, in the right place, knowing the right promise that will empower you in a way that you've never experienced. And right in the middle of that, we started praying. That's another thing it talked about. There's a prayer time that's necessary during the wait. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray, pray, pray while you're waiting. Pray while you're waiting. Well, I don't know what to say. That's all right. Nothing happens in the kingdom of God unless it's preceded by prayer. John Wesley said that. John Wesley just said, hey, we've got to be open to the communication of God, and we've got to pray while we wait. So number three is pray while you're waiting. Number four is being patient, being persistent, being an all-knowing that God is all-knowing. See, you be all-knowing that God is all-knowing. And you may not know when, you might not know the date, the time, or the hour, but you know it's coming. You know it's coming. They didn't quit while they were waiting. They didn't complain while they were waiting. They didn't throw in the towel while they were waiting. They didn't turn their back on the Lord on day three or day nine. They remained steadfast in prayer. Number five and the last one, they remained together. They remained in unity. They remained together. They remained together in unity. Come on, I'm just telling you, remaining together in unity is not possible without the Word of God. It was the Word of God that they looked at. It was what Jesus had spoke into their lives and then told them, wait, power's coming, power's coming. They knew the promise and they waited for the promise, but they all waited because they'd read the same Word. The enemy is breaking up churches and God's people right and left because they don't know the Word. See, unity comes by knowing the Word. You've got to operate in faith in your wait. And the only way you can operate in faith is knowing the Word. Hebrews 11:6. It's impossible to please God without faith. They knew that their faith would be rewarded. They walked with Him. They saw His work. They'd seen His miracles. They saw His resurrected body. They knew His Word was always true. They knew it. They knew it. They knew it. Do you know the Word today? Can you sing How Great Thou Art and know that He is great above your circumstance, and you can be seated at His right hand through what Jesus made possible, and you knowing the Word means that you are above the circumstance. I know God is, but I'm not. Well, then just get yourself there. Well, I don't know if I can. You can if you'll get these five principles. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, it says that Jesus appeared to them many times after His death on the cross, praying, proving, believing He was actually alive. He proved to them He was alive. So they knew that they knew He was the real deal. They all knew that they knew that they knew that they knew that they knew. You know what? When I'm having a lack of faith or I'm sitting here going, God, I need You to speak a word into my life, He does that supernaturally. But He'll back it up when I get around other people that I know that they know that they know that they know. And then I'm around them. And so the reason the disciples say made such an impact on the world is because they knew that Jesus knew. He proved to them, Acts 1:3. He proved to them. He proved to them. He proved to them that He was actually alive after He had been crucified. He was actually alive. He proved to them. Do you believe the word of the disciples? Come on, if you believe the Bible, that's the words that they've written. Well, that's God's word. Yeah, He spoke it right through them. Wrote it on the page. Well, I believe the Bible. Believe what the disciples did, and what they did is they got around each other. There are 11 of them in the upper room. They even have brought another one in, Matthias. You read chapter 1. It's just one of these things that what I want you to know is they were together. Do you have 12 people you're together with and you can get in unity be under the Word? The answer to that is yes, because you're sitting here this morning and there's more than 12. We're all disciples. Maybe in different stages and seasons, but can we get in agreement? See, there's unity here. Y'all getting anything out of what I'm... All right, we got to read the end of this. Acts 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, come on, say suddenly. Suddenly. There was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking in other languages, and the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Suddenly, the promise was manifest. Suddenly, the wait was over. The dream had arrived. The day had fully come. If you'll keep on walking, you'll continue to pray. You don't quit. You remain positive. You stay around people that you're in unity with. What I'm telling you is the promise is coming. Come on. Whatever it is that you wrote down at the beginning, whenever I said whatever your promise is that you're standing and believing for, it's coming. Do you believe that? I need some people believing with me. Because right now, our world is in dire straits, but it shouldn't be affecting the Christian. I get that. I'm not operating according to the world. I'm operating according to the Word. And the Word says all the believers were together while they were waiting on the promise. That's why I couldn't say we're not getting together. I believe with all that I am, God calls believers to be together in unity. Well, what about the health crisis? I get it. That's why we got some anointing oil. There's some right here. If you need it, we'll get the elders of the church to come down and the sick will be made well. And don't come up and pray with us if you can't believe that the Word of God is true and real and it'll manifest itself. We need a bunch of believers. Come on, we need some people standing. This world don't have the answer. God does. God does. And at some point, we got to stand up and say, okay, by faith, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to talk a whole lot more about this over the next couple of weeks. I'm just so excited. Psalm 27:14, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Psalm 37:7, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Isaiah 8:17, I will wait for the Lord. Isaiah 30:18, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him. So, wait. Guess what God does? He's waiting on you. Oh, but I'm waiting on God. Okay, the whole end of this, if you get nothing else, he's waiting on you.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.